This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
It feels great. It's so nice to be back out there, and get a few games under my belt, get some more at-bats, get some ground balls, and get in rhythm.
That is Matt Shaw. It was nice to see him make his spring training debut a couple days ago. This hour is sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions. It is time to go back to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Joining us is a man that I like to say that I can call a baseball friend. It is Jim Duquette. Jim Duquette from Sirius XM Radio. He is all over spring training right now. Download the Circa app today. Jim, good to talk to you. I feel like the last time I did was in New York somewhere.
That is true. We were talking a little Yankees with our Yankees friend, I believe, that night as
yes,
well.
Yes, we were. Yeah, and Meredith.
I thought I might see you out here in Arizona. That's not happening, huh?
No, I am in the studio, but I am happy to, A, watch baseball on TV, at least enjoy the sun remotely, and also kind of flip between the Sox and the Cubs, because I have both networks, so I've enjoyed that. And here, that's a flux right now, but it's good to have your eyes and ears on both, because there's a lot of people who can't watch the Sox yet, so it's good that we're talking to you.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
Jim,
I just heard that. Yeah, I just heard that today. I didn't realize that in Chicago. So I'll fill you in. We were in both camps already, so I can fill you in on both.
Yes, that's what we want to hear. You're our eyes and ears. He hosts Power Alley weekdays at 9 a.m. on Sirius's MLB Network radio channel. Love it. Our friend Jenny Kavanaugh is on there as well. And like you said, you've been out at both camps. So let's start with the Cubs, because we did just hear about Matt Shaw. We know that he's the prospect everybody has their eyes on, trying to figure out if he's going to be available for Tokyo. We already know Nico Hoerner was ruled out. Those games, of course, are early. Then they come back to more spring training before the rest of the season actually begins. What were your observations of Shaw, and what did you see over at Mesa?
So, yeah, that was the big question we had with Craig Counsell. He said a couple days ago everything was still on the table on whether he would be able to go or not. I think there's some good news that he was playing today, or at least back swinging, taking some grounders, all the things that we just heard. But, I think there's still some uncertainty on that, but it seems maybe a little more likely that he would be good to go. But I have a big crush. He's not my son, but I like to say that he's my son because I love him that much as a baseball player. And I think he's going to be, he does things a little unconventionally with his swing. But I'm used to some players that were pretty good big leaguers over their time, like Hunter Pence and Todd Zeal, who didn't do things as conventionally with their swings and were really good major league hitters. And I think he has a chance to be, a very similar type of player, productive player. So I'm really, really excited to see his growth as a major leaguer this year.
Yeah, and to me, it was one of two options, right? The Cubs were going after Alex Bregman. He ends up going to the Red Sox. They were on ESPN today, and they were showing just the success that he's had at Fenway, you know, after at least 75 plate appearances. That's wild. I guess we get to see that happen instead of what he could have done at Wrigley, but that meant that the next man up was going to be Matt Shaw. So the much-talked-about prospect was going to be called up. How much of a, I wouldn't say it's a, how much of a drop-off necessarily, but I do think that it is a real chance for him to bring his very best very early, knowing what the other option was. It's not like they were going to pass him up for just anybody.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the silver lining is you had a really good option, you know, and I think with, you know, Horner, you know, and some of his, you know, coming back from his surgery, you could have had some extra depth if you signed Bregman. You know, and the Shaw-Bregman comparison probably isn't fair to Shaw because you're talking about one of the best third baseman over the last few years, and Bregman, postseason player, all of those things that he brings. So, but I think in that sense, like, you know, the fallback was pretty good. And I think that's kind of a you know, a good sign from the Cubs side of things is they do have some good internal options. They saw, you saw that last year, especially the second half with PCA and Amaya, the way they swung the bat, and Michael Bush for the full year. So, yeah, they're going to give some young players the, you know, that kind of extra leash or runway, at least early on. And, you know, I think Shaw will end up, you know, benefiting from it. And I think fans will embrace him as a player, too.
Jim, I'm glad you brought up PCA and Miguel Amaya for that reason, because I was just, you know, you think of topic ideas or you've got baseball questions rattling around in your head. And one of them for me was, how much can I look at what they did last season in the second half and how it will translate to this upcoming season and even what we've seen in spring training? What were your thoughts on the improvement and then how you can see it take shape so far?
So, you know, when I was in the front office there, the thing that I liked the most with the young players, I would have preferred it the way they did it, which was finishing strong than running out of gas at the end. And the only reason why I felt like that is because, you know, there was some adjustments along the way that had to be made to get them to where they were, right, and how they finished strong. Both those guys, you know, did that, and, you know, they ended the season on a high note. You can build on that. Sometimes when you finish poorly, you know, there's some bad habits that ensue, or, you know, you've lost confidence, or maybe you run out of gas, whatever it might be. But there left a question mark, at least in my mind in the front office, whether you could count on them the next year. I feel like both of those guys have kind of passed that test. They are guys you can count on, you know, for this year. And I think that might be the blueprint of what you see with Shaw, like early struggles because they're so, you know, trying to get used to high-end velocity and spin rate and all the stuff that we see with these dominating pitchers now. But once he kind of figures it out, you know, he'll hit. He's always hit at every level he's been at, so – you know, I think that's why you feel comfortable with it. But I think kind of, you know, he'll likely take a page out of what those two other guys did last year.
We're talking to former Major League manager Jim Duquette. He hosts Power Alley on Sirius XM Radio. Jim, the Cubs have been projected. It's Pacoda. I know you cringe, or as a GM, I'm sure you kind of laugh and have your own opinions about Pacoda. But they were projected pretty high at 90.5 wins. And I think... Yep. Even we don't know how much potential this team has. What are your thoughts on how they will perform, especially knowing the Brewers have done what they've done for so many years winning this division?
Yeah, I like the projections. I kind of agree with you know, some of them, with the way they look for Chicago. I think if you look at each individual area, right, their pitching, their bullpen is better.
Right. Right,
when you have Presley and Hodge at the back end, that's a pretty dynamic final two guys, you know, pitching in the late innings. I think the rotation got better. Would I have liked to have seen a little better, you know, higher-end starter, you know, acquired this winter? Yes, but I think Matthew Boyd is a pretty solid guy that upgrades them. You know, the first four, I think, are going to be, you know, be able to compete with other teams' top four, and we'll see how the fifth slots. How that turns out. And I think their lineup is better with Tucker. You know, Tucker to me is the key for their lineup. And he is an elite player. He had the injury last year, but if you look at his career numbers, I think they're all over 900 OPS, and that just adds a dynamic that they didn't have last year. So I look for the offense to be much improved this season.
Yeah, and that's saying something, because losing Cody Bellinger the way they did, trading him to the Yankees, as we brought up the Yankees earlier, and then you get Tucker, but I selfishly was thinking about the 1-2 punch that Tucker and Bellinger could provide. You know, if Dansby Swanson's healthy like he wants to be this season, and Seiya Suzuki performs at the level you think he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the hard part, right? That you, like you said, you love to see Bellinger. You love to see that extra bat. That's what made Bregman so intriguing too. You could just, you know, you had Bregman to Tucker. They were teammates for so long. They were so successful. You know, I do think, you know, an underrated acquisition that they made was Justin Turner. The guy's a pro. You've seen him forever. He's been in the postseason, you know, a lot. Maybe not the last 2 years, but in his career, certainly as a Dodger. You know, what his acquisition, you know, just his ability to hit, his veteran presence, his willingness to help, you know, some of the young guys. I think he'll, you know, add some element there that, you know, will improve that offense too. But, you know, like you're saying, it could have been a lot better, but I think in the end, it's still going to be good enough.
Well, that's very good to know. And I also want to take this time, Jim, to ask you about your observations from White Sox camp, because like I said, not everybody can see the Sox right now. So I know the expectations are not particularly high for a team that finished with 121 losses, but a 20-win jump would be huge, relatively speaking. Luis Robert, I know, wants to get back on track. They've got a lot of young players who they're trying to bring up. Colson Montgomery, before he had a little bit of a setback, is who I was paying attention to. What were your observations from going to Sox camp?
So we had a chance to talk to Colson. He's doing better. He had a little back issue. Then he had a flu symptoms. So that makes it didn't make the back worse, but it makes it more painful. It sounded like just talking to him, but he's in good spirits now. I think he'll be fun to watch for sure. I think, you know, like you mentioned with Robert. Robert is a key for the White Sox for their continued kind of rebuild. You know, if he can get back to where he was, there's a couple teams out there that need middle-of-the-lineup bats. He'll be traded at some point this summer, you know, because they're still in that rebuilding mode. But they're young talent. We talked to Kyle Teal. We talked to Montgomery. We talked to Noah Schultz, Illinois product. You know, went to high school there in Illinois and is making his way to the big leagues probably sometime this year. Like, they have some really legit young players that you can get excited about and are going to be there for a while. So, you know, you're going to have to be patient if you're a White Sox fan, but I really love the talent. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at some of these prospect rating systems and, you know, MLB Pipeline is one that I use religiously, and they're pretty good. They're pretty accurate. They speak highly of those guys too. We missed Braden Montgomery, but they obviously got him in the crochet trade. Like, he's going to be a stud at some point too. So it's pretty exciting. You know, maybe the second half of the season this year with those young players, you'll start to see them introduced. And I think that's their, you know, Will Venable and Chris Getz's biggest challenge is, you know, are they ready so that you can bring them up and they come up with, you know, that level of confidence so that you don't have to send them back down.
Yeah, and I know that the Sox tend to bring up their prospects a little bit older than some of the other clubs. You know, Juan Soto, 19, I know. He's the one I always think about when I think of young. Montgomery, I believe, just turned 23. So to see him come online as a shortstop, I would think this is the year to make it happen for sure for him.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, there were some things, you know, last year in the minors. Like, he has a good idea of the strike zone. You know, he had a few more strikeouts than you would have liked last year. I think that'll get better as he, you know, understands pitching better. He's a really good athlete. Obviously, he was a former basketball player at high school too. Like, he just has a lot of the same kind of qualities that you look for with longtime major leaguers. And, you know, people have made the comparison to Corey Seager. I always hated that in the front office, making those comparisons. Mm-hmm. But there are some similarities between him I think, as he kind of gets into his major league career and as he gets stronger, I think you'll see him hit for power. Maybe not quite like Corey, but there are, I think some of those actions are probably, a good comparison.
Well, and Will Venable is somebody who I appreciated working with when he was a player. I worked with him when I was the Padres field reporter in San Diego. Always loved talking to him because he taught me so much about the game, just in the way he saw it and observed it. And he appreciated various roles on a team that he had. And then goes to the Cubs as an assistant, where I again really liked talking to him. And now he's the Sox manager. So I was excited to see that. What were your impressions of Will Venable?
Yeah, I love that. We talked to him for quite a bit today, and just watching his ascension to that job. I mean, he's learned under some really good managers, right? I mean, he played for some good ones too, but he was a coach under Joe Maddon. He was working under Alex Cora. He was under Bruce Bochy. I think he played for Terry Francona. Like, that's some managerial royalty that he has learned from, and he can. As he told us, he would take a little bit of each of those guys. But he, that's his own style. He gets high marks already out of the gate for being a good communicator, good people's person, taking on a leadership role, which you have to do anyway in those positions, especially with a young team. So, yeah, he's got an interesting blend of some veteran position players that, are more placeholders until those young guys are ready. But he's an impressive guy. He's very well-spoken, as you know. And I'm looking for big things out of him here. It's going to be a tough season this year, I think, overall. But I think they selected the right guy.
And just out of both camps that you visited, anything on your mind that you think is worth sharing with everybody listening here?
Well, I'll say this. We were in Angels camp, and that's been a team that's really struggled. But I'm always I defer and enjoy talking to Mike Trout when he says he's healthy and he feels good and he was willing to move positions for the betterment of the organization. I mean, this is an MVP of the league for a long time. When he says he's healthy, you feel pretty good about that. So I'm anxious to see, and hopefully he'll have a big season. I think it's better for the sport when he's playing 150 games, even if it's in right field and as a DH. So, we got to him the other day, and, I'll mention his name more than anything because of the status of the future Hall of Famer.
No, baseball's better when guys like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout are healthy. I couldn't agree more. Okay. And the Angels are an interesting study anyway because of how many former Chicago players they have on the team right now. Tim Anderson, Yoán Moncada, Jorge Soler. This is a very interesting Angels roster.
Hey, Atlanta, they're opening against the White Sox.
Right.
I mean, how crazy is that, right? Like, there's a good chance Tim Anderson's going to be starting at shortstop and Yoán Moncada at third when they take the field against the White Sox at home on opening day.
There's a good chance they walk to the wrong clubhouse. Like, they're
that
so used
so
to going
weird,
to one clubhouse.
Right? Oh, my God. Like, that's the thing that always happens in baseball. You're like, man, it only feels like it happens in baseball.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that is an Angels team that has me curious just because there are so many connections. You can't help but pay attention. And I do want to see if TA has anything left in the tank. The power went away for a while.
Yep.
I want to see if it comes back just to see that for him,
Sure. Well, I think when we were there in White Sox camp today, that was the sentiment too. Like that, no, he's such a good guy, and what he gave to the organization, you want him to succeed and do well. I'm hopeful too, and at least getting another opportunity for him to prove and get himself back on track, hopefully.
Oh yeah, anybody, you win the batting title on a team like that wasn't an outright at that point playoff team, ended up being one. To me, that's always significant. Jim Duquette, thank you so much for the time. It's great catching up with you.
Yep, same here. I'll see you soon, at some point during the season, I'm sure.
Yeah, tell my bosses to send me out to Arizona. That's great. Thank you so much.
Hey, I was trying for you. I was trying.
You're a good teammate, Jim. You always are. That's Jim Duquette. Thank you for joining us. Jim, the host on Sirius XM MLB Radio. You can hear Jim hosting Power Alley, and he joined us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Always love catching up with Jim Duquette. We have a lot more to get to on The Score. Layla Rahimi joining you until 9 o'clock. And we have to talk about the podcast that dropped a couple days ago. Arturis Karnišovas appeared on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. You can watch it on CHSN. It's an Odyssey Family podcast. And he brought a lot up when it came to the future of the Bulls. Let's get to it. That's next on The Score.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right. Whether or not you like it, as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. As we try to figure out the Bulls' direction and how they're going to take shape, not only when it comes to the draft where they protected their pick, but then moving forward, this is a roster that right now has some positional redundancies. We've talked a lot about, because Ayo Dosunmu is out for the season with a shoulder injury and he has to undergo surgery, Casey Johnson on the broadcast on CHSN talked about how it wasn't the desired outcome for Ayo. And when you consider the past year and a half that he's had, it is a real shame that it came to an end. He and Kobe White are both free agents after next season. Josh Giddey is a free agent after this season. You're trying to figure out what the Bulls are going to do in the draft. And Arturis Karnišovas doesn't talk often, but when he appeared on our friends Mark Schanowski and Stacey King's Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, we listen. And he did actually talk about what he saw for the future of this team and how it can take shape.
There's no more Zach. There's no more EC. There's no more DeMar. The roles are adjusting. They're getting used to it. I think going from game to game, you just got to see some improvement, right? And I thought that, you know, obviously, you know, Matos got better. You know, Julian got better. I think day in the last couple games looks great. And I think for Kobe was like, okay, so now, you know, those guys are not here. Now he sees a lot of like the best defenders are, you know, defending Kobe. There's a lot of different coverages coming at him. So there's a lot coming at him for him to make adjustments, and he's doing a great job. And Ayo in the same, you know, in the same sense of, you know, adjusting to, you know, taking more responsibility, taking a bigger role, and now obviously trying to stay healthy. So that's the, you know, those are the goals, you know, with the next, you know, 24, 25, I don't know how many left, games is for those guys and for that group to get better.
So that is what we expect to see for the remainder of the season. Obviously, with Io being out for the season, that affects this. But you can draw and paint a picture around the rest of it based on what AK had to say. Then is the midterm future, 18 months or so. Let's take a listen to that.
After the season, I think we're going to focus on the draft in 2025. I know we're going to get a good player. Then the free agency in 2025, and then 2026 draft is going to be pretty good as well. And then 2026 free agency, we've committed only a fraction of our salary cap. Salary cap projected to be $170 million in 2026, and we committed only $45 million as of right now. So wow. That's how we look, you know, ahead of like 18 months plan to see this team developing, and we'll see how that's going to pan out.
So when you hear that and you put it together with what Arturas Karnišovas had to say about the draft, you're trying to figure out how this works together. This doesn't sound like a trade for a superstar type of situation. It doesn't sound like a sign somebody in free agency who, you know, is a big name, even though they just traded away Zach LaVine, who had the max contract. Vooch still has time left on his deal. I mentioned you've got a year for Io. You've got a year for Coby White. They acquire players thanks to the other trades, guys like Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, who's seen time. Reportedly, if it's a $155 million cap threshold, the Bulls are at about $135. So that's where this gets tricky. Bulls going to go over the tax? I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen here. But a key piece of this is what's going to happen with Josh Giddey. And there's a bunch of discussion of, well, think of all that you gave up for him. You gave up Alex Caruso. Bulls could have reportedly gotten a first rounder for Caruso last season. We know what Alex Caruso's two-way player commitment meant to this team. I don't think the Bulls have enough two-way players. That's why I'm really bummed about Io, a guy who contributes on the offensive and defensive end, is somebody who you want to see. They also just extended Lonzo Ball. He's a two-way player, but right now, you know, he's playing at least some sort of restricted minutes. That's not to take away from what he's done. I'm here all day to tell you what I think what Lonzo Ball has done has been amazing. But you just start to see the roster take shape in a way that leaves you asking some questions. Patrick Williams, we know that he's at least on track to be reevaluated soon. I know that's coming sooner rather than later. But this is a team that still, to me, has a lot of questions with construction. How they treat Josh Giddey in all of this is crucial. Do you let him walk because he might be a better fit for another team? I don't love the defensive side of his game, but it has improved. You can't argue, though, with the double-double streak. That's been something that has taken shape over the last several games, and it shows that he can make progress. He has shown improvement defensively. Is it going to be enough when you consider all the other needs, what you're up against cap-wise, and then what his salary is going to command? Casey Johnson speculated that Giddey's probably signing for somewhere around $22 or $24 million. That's not nothing. So what does Arturas Karnišovas think of Josh Giddey's future with the team?
It's great to see Josh and how he developed this year. I think he's fully healthy right now. Again, just turned 22 this fall. I think, you know, when we moved AC, I think, you know, both teams got what they wanted. They, you know, they were looking for, you know, vet defender, you know, the intangibles that, you know, AC was bringing to them. And we took a chance at that time, 21-year-old, you know, guard that is elite rebounder and passer. And I think through the season he had, you know, he developed, and the last four games he was on a tear. I think, you know, what was it? Only MJ was the only one that, you know, in double figures and rebounds and points.
Yeah,
three games in a row. But it's great to see the progress that Josh made, and obviously the reason why we brought him here. And you know, we'll see what's going to happen in you know, after the season.
I know AK doesn't like to talk about hypotheticals, but he's in a heck of a hypothetical now, isn't he? He's in a bit of a pickle because you don't have a lot of room with to work under that cap, and you've got some names it sounds like you want to keep. And that's what makes me worry. Did I just see Ayodele Sumu's last minutes as a Bull, even though he's got another year left? Are you going to trade him? Are you going to trade Coby White? Are you guys going to try to make something happen in the offseason because you want to keep a guy like Josh Giddey because of his age and his potential? That's what makes me worry. And he also had said to Casey Johnson, Arturas Karnišovas did, that he thinks the term rebuild is overused. I don't. It's okay to say you're rebuilding if you're rebuilding. There's been a school of thought recently, well, how many times does a rebuild work in the NBA? The rebuild process is not the same as it is in baseball. Like the Daryl Morey, well, it wasn't Daryl Morey, it was his protege. The 76ers process is not realistic when it comes to how the rebuilds work. But what do you think Oklahoma City did when they traded Paul George and started amassing draft picks? That's exactly what they did. They rebuilt. You just forget about it because they're one of the best teams in the NBA now, and SGA is a perennial MVP candidate. They rebuilt. It's just quicker than you think it is. What do you call the Lakers trading for a top 10 talent? But they gave away, or a top 5 talent, they gave away a top 10 talent to do it. That's kind of a rebuild when you think about it in those constructs. And that's why they're second in the Western Conference right now. Not that I'm still mad that Luka Doncic isn't on the Mavericks. That's not me. Nope. But the point is, I think NBA teams rebuild all the time. It's just in a different way of putting it. But when you don't have a ton of draft capital, and you don't have a ton of room under the cap, even though you traded away a max player, I don't know if I'd call it a rebuild, but I would call it a heck of a hypothetical. Because there's a lot of questions to ask, and I don't know that I have a lot of answers. So it was good that Arturas Karnišovas gave some of them to Stacey King and Mark Schanowski. I know he talked to Casey Johnson as well, but that podcast was very informative. I suggest you check it out. It is available on the Odyssey app and where you get your podcasts. Give Stacey King the hot sauce. They deserve it. We will get back to some Bears talk because I hate to be the one to date myself. I hate to quote a good song. No, I don't. I love songs. Is it the return of the Mac? We'll touch on the Adam Johns and Kevin Fishbane article too because it's important. Some really interesting comments about Caleb Williams in there. Next, Layla Rahimi joining me on The Score.
On 3rd and 10, Bears get Chicago, and they get their first sack of the day, knocking them back to the 45.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, this is the instrumental, so you don't get him singing. Oh, that's sad. Okay, I was old enough to remember when Return of the Mac came out, but here's the problem. I never knew when the Mac went away. Was that like before Return of the Mac, or was it kind of like Remix to Ignition, where the remix came out before? Well, actually, Ignition exists, but nobody should listen to that. And I don't know. Did the Mac ever go away?
Honestly, I don't even know whenever the Mac left.
Well, we know when Khalil Mac left, which is why we're playing this and the highlight. Tyler Buterbaugh, thank you for pointing that out. So our friend Chris Emma, with the nugget from Indianapolis. We know he was there, he and Mark Grody, chopping it up at the combine. Apparently they were at the same restaurant as Roger Goodell one night, but they didn't talk to him. Unbelievable, you guys. And in it was this nugget: 5 takeaways from the NFL combine. Bears are set to have an active offseason. He says, sources believe Mac has interest in a return to Chicago. Khalil Mack. This is contradictory to previous reports, because Khalil Mack, we had heard, was also wanting to play for a contender, and he may not see the Bears as a contender. But Emma says, sources believe Mac has an interest in returning to Chicago, where he played from 2018 to 2021. So we know when this Mac left. Mac isn't interested in the spotlight, but the vision would be for him to be a complementary piece of the defense, not the star. And if he came back, it would make it Return of the Mac. He solves a lot of problems for the Bears, Tyler. But I think my concern is he's going to be pricey. He's older, and maybe he made a business decision or two his last couple years of the team. You know what I'm saying? And I don't blame him for that necessarily, but it is on my mind.
Yeah, that is the one issue you run into. He's not going to be cheap. He's getting old. This isn't the same age Khalil Mack that the Bears had years back.
When he even had a couple injuries.
Right.
And issues like toward the end of his time here. You but know, the last still, 2 years.
Last year, he still put up solid numbers. Like, he looked better than Joey Bosa. He looked better than a handful of the other edge rushers that are going to be testing the market as well. So, I mean, a return of the Mac wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh, no. Ideally, you want Khalil Mack back. But the issue is, financially, do you have room to make everything that we want to happen happen? Line's going to be expensive. Ryan Poles talked about how he wanted somebody inside. Khalil is still very much an edge. How do you put this all together? I did love what he did in San Diego, not just from a talent standpoint, but San Diego, LA. I knew it was going to happen at some point, guys. You live there, it just sticks with you. So I loved what he did with the Chargers. And even there was an article that came out talking about how he brought them together. You know, he started instilling like a Friday night dinner. And I'm pretty sure I actually ran into them one Friday night in Orange County. They were all together. It was a very cool restaurant called Javier's. Strongly recommend. But the point is, Khalil Mack is somebody you want on your team. I just didn't think that that was still a likely possibility or even a remote possibility based on his thoughts and where the Bears are and him wanting to be on a contending team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest surprise to me, too, because, I mean, obviously this is a much different look in the Bears, same ownership. But it's a complete different look with the head coach, general manager. It's not the same guys that he dealt with last time he was here, you know?
Yeah, how's he going to fit in on Dennis Allen's defense? Now, Khalil Mack on Vic Fangio's defense? Chef's kiss. Like, could you imagine if he was on the Philadelphia Eagles defense? Could you imagine if they added Khalil Mack? Shut it down.
Just
shut down the season for the Eagles' opponents. Like, over.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Khalil Mack and Dennis Allen, they were together in Las Vegas, or back when it was, no, it was still Las Vegas at the
time.
Yeah,
it was Las Vegas. Oh, yeah.
So he's got familiarity with Dennis Allen.
Maybe that makes it work.
Oh, my gosh, I can't speak.
Reignition?
Yes.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen? So I guess we're still waiting to see what will happen. I don't mind the speculation. I don't mind trying to figure out where Khalil Mack stands on it. That's what happens when you have a high market value. People are going to talk about where you're going to end up. Didn't we just do that with Jordan Schultz in the 6 o'clock hour? We did. If you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Strongly recommend the rewind feature. That's how I listen to Mully and Haw, people. I do not wake up at 6 a.m. I don't do it. I listen on the rewind. I also want to point out an article that came out from our friends Kevin Fishbane and Adam Johns. It came out today, and it summarized a lot of action at the Combine, but it really focused on the relationship that Caleb Williams has with the Bears, how he's been evaluated, how league sources have seen him, and then thusly what they think is going to happen now that Ben Johnson is there. They quoted a lot of scouts and league sources. And here's what stuck out to me. This is their article. The league will be watching how Johnson's relationship with Williams develops and plays out on the field. One league source familiar with Johnson's coaching style described him as intensely passionate, someone who can be red arse, if you will, and pissy during games. Can we say that? Do I need to dump it? I don't know. It's a direct quote. Those descriptions were meant as compliments. Johnson is competitive, and his players will feel it, especially his quarterback. The question is how well Williams responds to it all from Johnson. Some observers, though, think Williams needs that type of coaching after watching him during his rookie season. I'm going to repeat that again. Some observers think Williams needs that type of coaching after watching him during his rookie season. He's going to be on his case, the source says. He's going to be challenged. A scout said Johnson should be good for Caleb. Okay, how many times have I sat here in one of these chairs and asked, when everybody's talking about accountability outside of the indictment of Matt Eberflus, who were they talking about? Who were they talking to? Do we get some clues here in this article? Maybe so. Going back to it, several agents, coaches, and scouts suggested that there will be more pressure on Williams after what happened during his rookie year. While Jaden Daniels won with the Washington Commanders and made the playoffs as a rookie, Williams got caught in a 10-game losing streak. His first head coach and offensive coordinator in the NFL were fired. Some of those same league sources referenced what happened with the Bears' previous selection of Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. Oh, yeah, that. It became a national talking point. That said, there is some newfound optimism surrounding Williams because of Johnson's hiring. Everything is still fixable, multiple scouts said. Johnson's pairing with Jared Goff thrived for many reasons, from Johnson listening to the veteran quarterback to Goff responding to the challenges from his energetic offensive coordinator. I like Johnson. How could you not? A quarterback coach said. Caleb should play better. But there's more. Ryan Poles talked to SiriusXM NFL Radio. Not SiriusXM MLB Radio. That was Jim Duquette. He joined us at the top of this hour. Poles said early on during the combine on Sirius, Johnson's going to bring him all the way down to the ground floor again and build him up the right way. I think through the process, probably some unknowns, we probably skipped some steps in his development. What? What? I think through the process and probably some unknowns, we probably skipped some steps in his development. And there's more. Some of those critical things that you really can't go to step two before you finish step one. And that takes some time. Excuse me? Like, I kind of knew that was the case. I think we all suspected maybe they were asking him to do too much. And maybe he, in his willingness to be a teammate or trying to do the right thing or doing what is asked of him, is like, yeah, I got this, I got this. And sometimes you say you got this when you very much don't got this. And I say this blaming myself for my past times in life as well. You know, we've all had times where we're like, oh yeah, I got this, I got this. And you're like, maybe I got it, maybe I don't got it. The thing is, though, we're not NFL quarterbacks. And, you know, somebody else's job isn't to make sure we don't got it. This is a problem. Like, I appreciate Ryan Poles saying it. I've always loved Ryan Poles' transparency. Always. But my goodness, what the heck is happening here? That plus the quote he had where he said in training camp, things got away or they didn't do the right things at the right times in training camp. Are you just openly admitting you didn't develop your quarterback? That is what I feel like is being said right here. So there's more. So bringing him onto the ground floor and building him back up is going to be critical. They're going to be very honest with each other in terms of what needs to happen to get him to take the next step. Okay, so I'm guessing that meant, and we've heard things here and there, like the fact that the Shane Waldron offense was asked to be pure progression. We've heard Ben Johnson not necessarily criticize, but push back on the concept of a pure progression offense. Those two things contradicted. We saw in the first drive of games how there was either a clear communication issue or maybe perhaps the play wasn't executed right. And that led me to think, what's going on during the week that is leading to the failures of these opening drives where everything is supposed to make sense and you're supposed to at least get more than a three and out, which apparently was a big thing to ask. Okay. He's a rookie quarterback. I'm not willing to write anybody off yet. I'm way far away from that. Cynthia Freeland said they're asking him to do a lot. They're asking a lot of him. And is it because he's the first overall pick? I agreed with her. I thought that was an excellent assessment and summary of what we had been seeing. But this is a lot. This is a lot to deal with. This is a lot to take in. Because I'm trying to put it all together in a way that makes sense. And that says a lot about where the Bears are in trying to fix what happened in that first year.
Well, that one was a kick in the nards.
Right? Like, how do you feel when you hear that? I know we're up against a break, Tyler, but that is a lot to take in.
Yeah, wow. They just unraveled a whole lot. And then just thinking about it, I'm like, really? Like, you just let this fly over your head?
It's easy to blame the guy who's not here, right? It's like having a consultant come in and you're like, well, why didn't any of this work? And it's like, oh, it's the consultant. You know, he's already gone. Don't worry. They already took all the money and left. Came in like pigeons. Messed around, did their business on some stuff and then flew away. Not saying all consultants are like that. Particularly, I like some consultants because they help you out. But point being, it's easy to blame the person who's not here, who at some point was on your payroll. So there's some sort of responsibility. But I don't think that's what this is. I think this is him speaking a little more openly now because he made a good decision in the coaching hire.
Now that it's a good decision, he's enjoying it and like taking it all in. Like, yeah.
Or it's both. And credit to you then, Ryan Poles, for being a G and blaming the guy who's not here. I get that. But this isn't good. This isn't good information. It makes everything kind of make sense as to the 10-game losing streak and everything that happened after that. But that still doesn't account for, like, I don't know, what happened in the fourth quarter of games when you had the chance to win and other people didn't do their jobs. But when you put it all together, it does create, I don't know, losses, right?
Or, you know, forget to call a timeout.
Something tells me I'll be talking about this on the midday show tomorrow. We got to find that audio. All right. Dan, I think you might be listening because you texted me earlier. If not, I'll talk to you about it later. We got a lot more to come. Our friend Hub Arkish joins us next. Hub, the man, the myth, the legend, freshman the combine. I'm sure he has some thoughts. We'll get him next on The Score.